Do you know the Lord's table is that way? When we come to this Lord's table, it's an event that we remember, but it is so much more than just an event that takes place in history that we remember. We remember, those of us who know Christ, this is a table that celebrates the one who died and rose again for us. And when I come to the table as an individual who is a follower of Jesus Christ, I think of the day that Jesus changed my life. And we come to this table as a remembrance. And normally our practice is to do this as a congregation in our evening services. But one time a year we do so in this morning service, the 10:30 service. I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the scripture that tells us about this Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll want to find verse 23 and we will consider through verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as always, I'll give you a moment to find it, and how you found it, let's begin reading. I'll start reading in verse 23, and we will read through verse 32. The scriptures tell us this, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let's ask God to speak to us from this portion as we prepare for the Lord's table. Lord Jesus, you, by the wonderful and powerful Holy Spirit, are doing great things in our world. And you're doing wonderful things in life. In fact, everything you do is driven by your love and your goodness. And it is our prayer that as we have gathered together around this table, you would help us to understand it. But far beyond a correct understanding of the meaning of this Lord's table, we're asking you to do something that is very personal. We are asking that you would speak to individuals so that wherever we are in our relationship with you, we may be without Christ, that you'll bring us to Christ. Those who are in fellowship, this would be such a joy to renew that fellowship. Others who know you are in different places, so bring us to a right relationship with yourself, and then even with others, we pray. And so, Holy Spirit, this is something that we need your enabling power, and there has to be a supernatural work in us. And so it is with joy and expectancy I yield to the Holy Spirit as a preacher, and really for all of us, including myself, as a hearer. So God, we ask for you to prepare us for this table and our worship around it, for we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. When we come to this table, it is more than just a ritual. It's more than just a tradition. This table is a matter of obedience. And when we come to this table, the portion of scripture to which we've turned tells us something about this table. It reminds us that this table is our remembrance of our Lord. It's our remembrance of our Lord. So that two times you see in your Bible what that Jesus is quoted, verse 24, this do in remembrance of me. And then verse 25, this do in remembrance of me. When we come to this table, it is symbolic, not sacramental. You see, some false religions teach that this is Holy Communion, and in some form or another, taking this cup and this bread literally becomes the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And to earn forgiveness, you have to partake of this table to have your sins forgiven. And sometimes it's called wrongly a sacrament. And even the sound of it, is the word is chosen very specifically because it's communicating that you must partake of this table to have received the sacrifice that Christ made. But friends, this is not a sacrament. This is an ordinance. This is a remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to us, and when I view it as a sacrament, something that I must do in order to receive the forgiveness of sins, then my friends, my trust is not in Jesus who died and rose again for me. This is my trust, is that I have done my part, as opposed to resting in the truth that Jesus has done what I could never do for myself. It is some symbolic, not sacramental. So Jesus, imagine him hanging on the cross. And while he's on the cross, the Gospels record seven phrases, seven sayings, they're called, that Jesus uttered from the cross. And of the seven sayings that are recorded in the Scriptures, the sixth of the seven is one single word that Jesus calls out from the cross in Greek. And in our word, it's three words in our language. He cries out from the cross, "Tetelestai." And on our Bible, it's translated, "It is finished." In the ancient world, this is a wonderful word. It's a word that would be used of an individual who had a debt and was making payments on their debt. And after making payment after payment and payment on the debt, finally they come to the great day, the last payment that is made. And the debtor puts down the money and says, "Tetelestai, it is finished." How many of you don't know what that's like? It was also used in the ancient world of armies battling, and they're battling one against the other, and there's a struggle, and finally one of the armies overcomes, and the soldiers shout in victory, "Tetelestai, Tetelestai, the battle is finished." And when Jesus cries out on the cross on that day, "Tetelestai," he cries out, "The debt for your sin has been paid. The battle has been won by my sacrifice." And friends, I hope that you know what it is when you put your trust in Jesus to say, "Tetelestai, Jesus paid the debt I could not pay. He won the battle that I could not win by his sacrifice for me on that cross." Friend, do you know what it is to know the victory and the power of sin's debt paid? So our remembrance is symbolic. And it is of the Lord's suffering. So you read in your Bible again, verse 24. "Take, eat," Jesus said, "this is my body which is broken for you." The broken body of Jesus. And then verse 25. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And in our mind's eye, when we come to this table, we see so much more than a table. In our mind's eye, we imagine and picture what it must have been like on that cross. And we picture there Jesus hanging suspended between earth and heaven. We picture him, the Old Testament describes him as one whose visage was marred. He would be unrecognizable. He, having had his back in his mid-session section lashed so that his raw pulp, having his hands pierced, his feet pierced, the side pierced, the crown of thorns platted in his forehead. And we picture him in our mind, and the songwriter describes him as the very dying form of him who suffered there for me. We imagine this precious blood flowing from his body. And as we picture it, we remember the prophet Isaiah said this day would come and he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. When Jewish people celebrate the Passover, they use unleavened bread. It's called a matzah. And when we partake of the Lord's table, we also take unleavened bread, as they would do. And if you looked at a sheet of matzah, it's like a cracker. And when you have this, you'll see it. We break it into small pieces for you. But Jewish people have a tradition that when this is baked, they pierce it. Now, there are reasons for it, they say. Some would say, well, we do that so that it will be flat, it will not bubble. There are others that say that we don't really know why we do it. We've just always done it. Tradition. Had to get it in, right? It's just how we've always done it. So we do it that way. But what Jewish people don't understand, many of them, unless they've come to Christ, is the very piercing of that unleavened bread is a beautiful picture of Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who was pierced for our transgressions. And when we partake of it, we come to this table, we take this remembering that all of his suffering was for us. So it is symbolic of our Lord's suffering and of our Lord's substitute. So that Jesus said this when he instituted this table, verse 24, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Can you picture in your mind's eye these men seated around a table? It's a low table. There are cushions and each man leaning on his side and the men one against the other. And they have this wonderful meal together. Jesus shared so much with them to prepare them for what was about to happen. And they come to the point in the meal when Jesus establishes this Lord's table. And he takes the unleavened bread and he breaks off a piece. And he says, "This is my body which is broken for you." And he hands it to each of the men. Each one. Can you picture this? And do you realize that as he does this, he could look each man in the eye, even Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. "This is my body which was broken for you." And the Lord Jesus, today, when we gather in this place, oh, we're so far removed from that upper room. We're so far removed from the cross and the empty tomb. But on this day, when we gather, we can still say, "This is the Lord's body which is broken for you. And he's broken for you. Broken for you. And for you. And for you. And for you. For you." Then he takes the cup. And in the cup we read, verse 25, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." When you read Testament, think of a covenant. Think of a deal that is made between two or more parties. And Jesus said, there's a new covenant, a new relationship that I'm making with you. And this is the deal, that I am going to have my body given in a sacrifice for you as your payment. My blood is going to be shed for you. So I'm going to do my part. I will come out of the grave alive. I will do all that is done so that you can have the forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to me. That's my part. But your part is to turn from your way and receive me, my sacrifice for you. Now God's done his part. For you to be part of this covenant relationship with God, you have to do your part and respond and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, when a church comes together to the Lord's table, we come together as a remembrance of our Lord. And we are a people that come together with our common bond. Wherever we've come from, wherever we are in our lives, there is something, one unifying factor that brings us all together, and that is our trust in Jesus Christ alone for our eternal salvation. Our hope is only resting in Jesus. The complete and finished work of Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds us all to do this in remembrance of me. So the Lord's table is our remembrance of our Lord. The Lord's table is a time of our restoration to our Lord. Now, this book of 1 Corinthians is a real letter written to real people. And because it's a real letter written to real people, how many of you would imagine there are real people with real problems? Because everybody has problems. And so the letter is written to people that have some problems. And even when it came to something as sacred as the Lord's table, there are people that had some real problems. And the problems are addressed, you'll read in your Bible, verse 20 through verse 22. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat of the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. Can you imagine that? They made an announcement, morning church. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. And some people, they come. It's the Lord's Supper. It's like a church picnic. Let's bring our supper. Well, not everybody does. So you'll notice verse 21. And one is hungry. And not only that, another is drunken. There are some people that decided, hey, I'm just going to imbibe in alcoholic beverages and I'm going to get drunk. And they do it at the Lord's table. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So this table, which should have been unifying of people with Christ and with one another, became a table of division. And no wonder, verse 33, we're told, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man's hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. So this problem is addressed, but then the problem is explained even further. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It explains the responsibility that you are responsible for how you partake of this Lord's table. When you take the cup and you take the bread, you are responsible before God for your spiritual condition when you take this table. But then beyond that, there's something else that we're told. It tells us of the seriousness of it. Look what the Bible says in verse 39, or 29 rather. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, not in a right relationship with God, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So that an individual who chooses to partake of this Lord's table, not in a right relationship with God and with men, makes a choice for themselves that they are choosing to put themselves in a place of God's judgment. So that even in the church in Corinth, they had some problems happening among their people. And the reason was because of their disrespect of the Lord and of others when they came to the Lord's table. Look in your Bible at verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. And some who would not heed the Lord and were so rebellious and how they partook of the Lord's table. Some, the Bible says this, keep reading in verse 30, and many sleep. So that God, in some cases, directly intervened in people's life and brought sickness and weakness to try to get their attention. And some who would not, and in stubbornness, continued in their own way and hardened their hearts and hardened their hearts and hardened their hearts and still came to the Lord's table and put on a show as if they were something that they were not. God says, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step in and I'm going to kill them. That's how serious this table is. But in all of it, restoration is encouraged. In this passage, God encourages self-examination. Look in your Bible, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So this is a wonderful time for you and I to say, Lord, am I right with you? Is there anything in my life that is not right with you? Is there anything that needs to be settled between you and me? The 139th Psalm, verse 23, is a scripture that I will usually, usually will quote and pray to the Lord in my own preparation for the Lord's table. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And even this morning, as I was preparing to come to church and celebrate the Lord's table with you, I prayed that prayer. Lord, is there anything between you and me? The encouragement is that when God speaks to your heart, restore with the Lord, and so let him eat, and so let him drink. Enjoy the blessing and the fellowship with God around this table. So is there anything between me and my relationship with God? I wonder for you, is there anything between you and your relationship with God that needs settled before you partake of this table? Now remember, this is real church with real people and real problems. And they had problems with people, just could not, and not really could not, because God helps people. They would not get along. They were so carnal, that is, driven by their flesh. They just were always at one another. And the Apostle Paul says to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 and verse 19, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies, that is, divisions or schisms, it's another word, among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Here are people that were divided, and even, I mean, this is a church that were divided over so many things, but even something as sacred as the Lord's table became a point of division. And so it is, for them to be right with God, they also needed to restore a relationship with one another. And you all know, as we do here, there will come a time when we will make that last time of preparation before the men serve the cup and the bread. And I will tell you, every time I tell you this, I'll encourage you to be right with God and make sure that relationship. But I will say, if there's somebody in our congregation that's even here tonight, and there's an issue between you and that brother or sister in the Lord, do not partake of the Lord's table. But when we gather together, and our heads are bowed in the moment of silence, would you very quietly get up from your seat and would you go to that brother or sister in the Lord? Would you step out and find a room where the two of you can bring reconciliation to that relationship? If the person happens not to be here at that time, I ask, would you do all that you can and make a commitment before the Lord that as soon as you can, you're going to do what you can to try to bring reconciliation? That person may or may not respond, but you need to do all you can to bring reconciliation before you partake of the Lord's table. So this restoration encourages self-examination. But there's something else restoration encourages, and that is it encourages self-judgment. So look in your Bible, if you will, verse 31 and then verse 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For if we would, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So when we come to this table, this is our time to say, Lord, would you deal with my heart? So as we come to the Lord and we judge ourselves and we are open with the Lord and evaluate ourselves, we do so that the Lord doesn't have to. In your life, you keep a humble, close relationship with God, always seeking restoration and renewal of that relationship so that you have the hand of God's blessing in your life. Restoring a relationship with God, restoring a relationship with others, it keeps you in a place where you are not under the condemnation of God, but you are under the gracious blessing of God. So this table is a time of restoration. And can I ask you, if you do not know Jesus Christ yet, what's holding you back? You know that He died for you, He rose again for you. Why not? On this day, right? You can do it right where you are. Turn from your own way and in the quietness of your heart, the God who's already been drawing you, and you respond, oh Lord, I see that I can't do this on my own. My sinfulness, my inability, but Jesus is enough. And I turn to Jesus and trust Him. You may be an individual who's far, far away. You know Christ, but you're far, far away from Him in your heart. And this is the day that God is dealing with you and bringing you back. What's holding you back from coming back home to Him? It may be that you're an individual that God today has just very specifically dealt with your heart about something that is so clear. He's made it so abundantly clear that this is the day for you to say, okay, Lord, it's yours. Maybe in another person you need to speak to seek restoration. So this table is a time of remembrance. This table is a time of restoration to our Lord. And this table, even as it looks backward to the cross, looks forward to the return of our Lord, so that verse 26 reminds us, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. You see, every time we partake of this table, we do so in anticipation of His coming. For as He came once, He will, as He promised, come again. We partake of this table each time. It is in anticipation of the continuity until His coming. So this is done for believers until He come. And all through the ages, believers, wherever they are from, have practiced the very practice that we are practicing today. Until Jesus comes, we will remember around the Lord's table. And oh, this table reminds us of the cleansing for His coming. The blessed hope of the coming of our Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He that hath this hope in him cleanseth himself even, or purifieth himself even as he is pure. So I tell you today, wherever you are, you may be without Christ. You may be far away. You may be a person who is right with God. This is a day of rejoicing. You may be a person that God is just nudging you and drawing you closer. Wherever you are, my friend, as we come to this table and look back on the cross, let's look forward to to his coming, and I say to you, prepare for his coming. Would you stand with me, please? And shall we pray? So, Lord Jesus, this table places you at the center. You really should be in everything. It all will be done for your glory. And we come to this table now. And with gratitude and joy, we look back. And with joy, we look forward to your coming. And while we have gathered in this place, we've asked that you would prepare us for your coming as well as this table. Now, before I'm done praying, I'm going to just ask you, are you prepared for his coming? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your personal Savior? I mean, you probably know about him, about his death on the cross, but he is God in human form. He died and rose again for you with power. Do you know him personally? And where you are, call out to him in the quietness of your heart and at this moment. He's drawing you. Maybe you know that you're his saving power, but he's drawing you back. You've wandered in. You know it, and oh, he's been dealing with you to bring you back to joy and power. He's transforming you in your life, and this is a time for you to renew and say, Lord, thank you for the joy of your spirit. And so, Lord, thank you that I can celebrate this table today. Whatever God is doing in your life, this is a time of restoration. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you in a few moments to, we will partake of the Lord's table. But if you say, you know, here, Pastor, I just ask the Lord to save me. I want to invite you to make sure you complete one of those cards in your pew pocket and drop it in an offering box and we'll rejoice with you. Give us your contact information. We'll do all we can to help you. You'd say, Pastor, I'm preparing for this Lord's table and God is dealing with me. I know I'm saved, but God is speaking to my heart about my relationship with him. This is the time. It may be others that you're... So he's speaking to you. Whatever God wants to do in your heart and in your life, this is the time for you to seek the Lord. If you'll look this way, let me explain our practices at Stanley Heights. Here at Stanley Heights, we practice what we call close communion. That is, if you are born again and right with God, whether you're a member here or not, you are welcome to participate with us in the Lord's table. So we want you to feel very comfortable to do that, and that's a matter between you and the Lord. If you are not comfortable participating with us in the Lord's table, that is also between you and the Lord. And we're very, very grateful you spent the time with us. We're going to sing the verse of a song in preparation for this. And if you don't feel comfortable, we just give you the freedom to slip out during that song and we will partake of the Lord's table. If not, if you want to stay, you're welcome to stay with us and share in this time around the Lord's table. You're welcome, even if you don't understand or for whatever reason, you're welcome to participate and be with us. But if you feel that you need to pass that plate rather than partake of it, you can still be part of it all without actually partaking of the Lord's table. And we want to give you that liberty as well. All right, let's sing together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. It's entitled Cleanse Me. Let's sing it together. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, my Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Thank you. You may be seated. And so we will, before we serve the Lord's Supper, take a few moments and seek the Lord in restoration to Him. And even others, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, if you need to slip out and find someone and have time where you restore that relationship, then would you please do so? And let's remember, of course, that if for some reason you are not right with God, and whether you're not saved, whether you are not right being saved but not right with God, would you please, really the heart of God is for you to receive, to be restored and to partake. Would you please pass that plate to the next individual? Let's go to the Lord with a few moments of quietness before we partake of the Lord's table. Oh Lord, it is to come to this place that we look to the cross. It fills our hearts with gratitude and joy. It reveals your mercy to us, your grace. It reveals even our own sinfulness and magnifies who you are. We look forward to your coming, oh Lord. And we ask that as we gather in this place, that there would be joy in us and that you would find joy in your people who have gathered and worshiping you around this table. And so we ask all of this, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then would you stand? Serve the bread. Let's sing together, His robes for mine.
His robes for mine, a wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. My life is not my own. My praise shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. And God is strange from God. My such love, my life is not my own. My praise shall be for Christ alone.
Then we're going to sing a song. It's taken right from John 3:16. For God so loved the world.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. One day He's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful His love to me.
You may be seated. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, let's sing that song, Blessed Redeemer.
Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, taking for sinners death on the cross, that He might from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying.
And we're going to sing a chorus that really is an affirmation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in each of our lives. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all the my heart.
For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And the scriptures tell us after the same manner also He took the cup. Would you men, would you stand? Serve the cup. Let's sing of the restraining or constraining love of Christ.
The man of sorrows, agony, struck once by God. He satisfied the Father's holy wrath and drank the bitter cup on my behalf. Constrained by Christ's atoning sacrifice, without reserve I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the all-surpassing glory of his name. Resplendent in his royal majesty, my king still wears the scars of Calvary. His death wounds show the depth of selfless love, imploring me to live for things above. Constrained by Christ's sacrifice, without reserve I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the awesome glory of his name. For him I count my life no longer mine. His great work, a higher call I find, to lose myself and find my all in Christ. Gladly pay the price, constrained by Christ's atoning sacrifice. Without reserve, I offer him my life. Redeeming love compels me to proclaim the awesome glory of his name. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Now I belong to Jesus.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
I'm going to sing one more song before we partake of the cup. It's the precious blood, and it brings us again to the blood of Christ shed for us. Let's sing together the precious blood.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant of grace, unveils the wonders of God's love to Adam's fallen race. The sovereign King who died for all redeems us from our sin and makes us kings and priests of God, where we shall reign with him.
I'm going to sing one more verse of this song, the verse that reminds us of the song that we sing and that all will for an eternity sing the song of the redemption in Christ Jesus. Let's sing together the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the song of saints above.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the song of saints above, who glory in the risen Lamb and boast of God's great love. Every nation, tribe, and tongue, one body, all are we. A people joined by grace alone through all eternity.
And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's stand together. Let's sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but
when we've been there 10,000 years,
when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Blessings.